Honey Boo Boo is not a show that we've paid much attention to recently. Have they not had new episodes in a while? Is that the story?
I think so. I think it has been, it seems like, in a long hiatus.
I guess in March, we missed this, but one of her kids, Anna is her real name, Chickadee is her nickname.
Chickadee.
Mm-hmm. Got engaged.
I think Chickadee is, it's been a while since I've seen the show. I think she's the third fattest of the kids.
Okay.
So she'd be the fourth fattest in the house.
Well, then this is a good proposal. Her fiance, the way he proposed to her was that he ordered a pizza. Mm-hmm. And on it, the pepperoni spelled, "Marry Me."
Yay! Well, that's labor intensive.
No, he probably didn't have to do it, though.
Right? Oh, he had them do it?
Probably had them do it.
Then that's
probably had whoever is delivering the pizza do it, just like you'd have them make a birthday cake,
I
think.
Oh, I see.
Now, here's the question I have for you, Lisa, and I know this is a difficult one for you to answer because you didn't grow up in this little town in Arkansas where wherever the F they live, so your life has been very different from theirs. Is it possible that this was an awesome proposal?
Yes.
No, it's possible it was good.
I mean, if they never go anywhere, which I'm thinking they don't,
right,
or really do anything, then
I mean, it doesn't. I mean, look,
first of all,
they're very young. Okay, that's not a proposal for a 35-year-old woman, but
right.
she's 19 years old. So
and they love pizza.
Yes.
They do love food more than anything. They certainly don't have a lot of money unless mom is, you know, June is and Sugar Bear are distributing that TV money down to the kids. I don't know how much they're getting. But I sense that it's not like he had a tremendous cash supply at his disposal here.
Plus, how risky is that with a family that will take that pizza and cram it down their throats in one bite?
Before she even gets to see it?
Before she even gets close to it.
That's an excellent point. Eventually, she's looking at going, what does R-E mean? I don't even understand what this is. So, I don't know. I mean, most of us look at that and go, that's not how you want to be engaged to, is with it spelled out on a pizza. That, to me, seems like it falls short of the dream proposal that most young women hope for. But we thought it might be an interesting topic to hear from listeners who have had terrible proposals. I guess we'd be looking for ladies, right? It's mostly the girls who get proposed.
Yeah, or it could be guys that did something that's you know, embarrassing.
That's true.
Or whatever. But here's the thing. There's two different topics, and we want one and we don't want the other. We don't want girls complaining about guys that did their best.
But it wasn't good enough for them.
Right.
Okay.
We want guys just failed.
Right. So would this be like a great idea went horribly wrong?
Yes,
that would be fine. Or very little effort put into it, or a failure of imagination, or
because you don't have to have money to have imagination.
That's right. That's absolutely right.
Yeah.
So we want to hear from you if the proposal fell short. You're not super picky about this. And by the way, it doesn't mean you didn't love the guy and didn't get married and you're not, you know, didn't live happily ever after, but it's just, it wasn't the proposal that you hoped it would be because the guy just didn't put any thought into it. Or it was a disaster when it happened.
Hey, Bean, it just occurred to me while you were talking, while we're waiting for the phone calls at 1-800-520-1067. Why don't you tell people you're very
romantic.
The way that you proposed so romantically to your wife.
Why are you going to come at me
because
like that?
Because it just this occurred to me that you have the perfect example.
Is it a story?
No.
That Mrs. Bean is delighted to tell her friends all these years later? No.
It is not, no.
Does it make me look like a catch? No.
No.
It was a Saturday night in Hollywood, and we were thinking of going to the movies, and we called at the time, there was movie phone, where you call to see what the movies were, and the movie we wanted to go see was sold out. And we didn't really have a backup plan. And the way the story goes, I said, well, we can't go to the movies, so what do you want to do now? I mean, we can go to Las Vegas and get married.
That was literally Bean's proposal.
Have you thought about it for 1 second before it came out of your mouth?
I don't know. I don't, you know, my memory, but I don't think so. It certainly wasn't something we were talking about. It's not like we were having all these conversations about wanting to get married. And by the way, let's remember, we had been dating for less than 5 months at that point.
All so good. This is all good science.
It's not like we were funny.
It's not like we were 4 years into it and it was inevitable. I mean, it was 4.5 months at this
point.
Well,
that was the first time marriage was brought up, I imagine.
Yes, I think so. I think that's accurate, Kevin.
But did you laugh after you said it?
Yeah, was it a joke?
That's a crazy idea. And then she said, let's do it.
Well,
Donna's recollection of it is that we had a house guest, former producer of the Kevin and Bean Show, and this was before he came to work at K-Rock, but Frank Murphy. Some of our longtime listeners remember Frank. Mm-hmm. Frank was visiting us and staying with us that weekend.
So you just wanted out?
She claims
Frank's not an exciting guest.
She claims that I suggested it to impress Frank. I suggested it just to give us something to do rather than sit around and look at Frank. So that's where she thinks it came from.
Too?
Oh yeah, Frank came with us.
He was his best man.
Yeah, we all flew to Las Vegas together. Frank was the best man. Then we turned around and came back. We literally were on the ground in Las Vegas for just 2 hours.
You are a romantic bastard.
We landed at 11, came back at 1.
Your wife thought you did it just to impress Frank and still said yes.
I know,
right? There's something wrong with both of you.
Absolutely.
That's true, and you need to hang on to her because you're never going to find another one like that.
Yes.
Now that we could see a movie
or go to Vegas and get married, that's how you propose
with Frank. Now that you put it in the context of bad marriage proposals, I guess that kind of does qualify, doesn't
it? It's pretty bad, Bean.
Well, I think that's tough to beat. I mean, tough to beat in badness.
Right.
Like, at least this dude bought a pizza.
At least this guy had pizza.
At least he thought ahead to have them arrange the pepperonis. All of a sudden, this one isn't so bad.
Pizza does make everything better. It does. All right. We got some great calls. We'll take a very quick break. George, please hang on. Wendy, Michelle, Stephanie. Apparently a lot of bad marriage proposals are happening in the Kevin and Bean audience. And we'll talk to all of you next right after this on K-Rock. So Chickadee on the Honey Boo Boo reality TV show gets proposed to by her fiancé presenting a pizza with the pepperoni arranged to spell marry me. Not the world's greatest proposal, but I bet our listeners can beat it with even worse ones. At 1-800-520-1067. Let's go to Wendy up first. She's on line 2.
Hi, Wendy.
Hi, good morning, guys.
Hello.
Yeah, the bad proposal. What happened?
Well, we were at Kmart one day, and I see a ring that I like, and my boyfriend actually got it for me. We get to the car, and he just hands it to me.
I thought you meant like you wandered off, he went back and bought it so he could have it later.
No, I mean, I didn't know he got it for me, but when we got to the car, he just gave it to me, and I'm just looking at him like,
really?
Okay. And he's like, well, I'm like, what does it mean? And he's like, oh, well, duh, if you want to marry me.
Duh, if you want to marry me. I hope you got that engraved inside the ring.
I like duh, if you want to marry me. That's strong.
Did you guys get married?
We're still engaged.
You're still engaged.
How long ago was this?
13 years.
No, it was a year ago.
A year ago. Oh,
okay. Okay. Well, hang on to him. He sounds like a keeper. Thanks so much for the call. Appreciate it. Let's go to Stephanie up next. She's on line 7. Let's find out how her man blew it.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hey, guys. What's up?
Hi.
What happened? How did you get proposed to?
Oh, my God. He was 18. I was 19. We were standing in his parents' kitchen and talking, and then he said, oh, I have something for you, pulled the ring out of his pocket, no box, no nothing, and just kind of handed it to me. And yep. I was,
you had to clear the lint out and then go, what is this?
and I'm curious, Stephanie, I mean, look, if you love the guy and the important thing is that he proposed and that you guys get married, that's all great, but don't most girls have something else in mind for a proposal?
Oh, you know, we're raised watching these stupid romantic comedies where it's
sure.
a big event. And so that's what we're expecting when a guy proposes.
It's not just that. There's also a lot of social pressure on girls because every other girl in the world that knows you will go, how did he do it? How did he
Absolutely.
Do it? How did he
yeah.
do it? You have to have a good story.
Or else it was great telling everybody that he was just in his parents' kitchen.
Oh, no. Yeah. You make something up at that point.
I mean, look, it doesn't have to be a big, expensive, even elaborate thing. It can just be, you know, you guys walking in the park or something like that. But
right.
not in the parents' kitchen with other people in the next room. That's no bueno.
And just handing it to you. Like, yeah. not prefacing it with something nice.
Duh. Let's get married.
Yeah,
did he say that?
Thank you. Thank you for the call, Stephanie. We appreciate it. Becky writes in, dear Kevin and Bean, we were all sitting around my boyfriend's parents' dinner table eating when my ex, yes, I said ex, threw a box at my head and went
what?
Back to eating. I opened it and I said, oh, thank you, thinking it was just a ring he picked up. But about an hour later, he said, hey, are you going to answer me? Apparently, him throwing the box at me was his big romantic gesture. I sadly said yes, but the marriage only lasted about a year.
Was he a caveman?
By the way, the kind of proposals where you don't know that you're being proposed to, those may be the worst.
Aren't you going
to
give me an answer?
Let's go to...
By the way, if that is ever comes up, the answer is no.
Yes.
It should be no, yeah. Let's go to Melinda, by the way. She's on line 2. She's got a funny story.
Hi, Melinda.
Hi.
How did you get proposed to?
my now husband was in, told me to meet him at the bar. Went to the bar. He was pretty hammered. Throws me a black bag. Says, well, let's get married. And I said, okay. Mm-hmm. Next day, I show up at his house. He says, where'd you get that ring from? And I said, you gave it to me last night. Oh, okay.
Please tell me he had no memory of the married thing.
No. And we've been married 16 years.
So he was still into it, though, once you explained that you were engaged.
Yeah. We eloped.
Okay. Well, that's good, at least. All right. Thank you for the call.
That's just proof that women are better than men.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Let's talk to David. He's on line 5. We haven't heard a guy who blew the proposal yet. This might be fun. Hey, David.
Hi. How's it going?
Good.
Good.
Hi.
Hi there.
What'd you do, you dumbass?
Actually, it wasn't my fault.
Okay. What happened?
So I had our anniversary lined up, perfectly planned out. A nice romantic evening. Like, she likes to go downtown Long Beach by the pier and the water, especially at night. Mm-hmm.
But wait, you said you had your anniversary planned out. This is before you got married. So you're just talking about, like, 1 year you've been together?
Well, actually, we're engaged. We've been engaged for almost 2 years now. So the problem was, I had the ring picked out. I got it. I had everything planned out.
But it took you too long to get to the part where you asked her the question?
No. So we were going to go out, and she told me, oh, you know what? I have to go pick up my sister. Can we pass by and pick her up? And I said, okay, sure. We go down. She's at a hair salon. She's getting her hair done.
Please tell me she said no.
I can't take it.
So after an hour of waiting,
David.
I tell her, you know what? Can we just go downtown?
There's nothing. We can't.
What's the point of this story?
We just can't. I know you're trying to give us just the details, but you're not bringing it to life, David.
You're a good guy. I hope she said no.
But exciting story.
We can't risk our whole audience going to sleep.
We can bore them. We don't need you for that. Exactly. All right. We only have time for one more, Kevin. Which one do you like?
Let's talk to, I don't know, you want to do Laura?
I agree. Let's
Laura's
go back to
good,
David.
Yeah.
Back to David. I don't know about David. You think that's an opportunity? No, I'm
all
kidding.
All right. Hi, Laura.
Hey.
What happened?
Hi, Lisa May.
Hello.
You have to cleanse our palate after David. Make it short and sweet. What happened?
Okay, short and sweet. So my boyfriend and I had been dating about a year, and we'd gone to the mall to do a bunch of different errands, and we're doing all these different things, and we'd stopped kind of, just browsing in a jewelry store, and then we kept going on doing other things. He had to go to Sears to get some power tools.
Right.
So we're going down the escalator at Sears into the power tool section, because he had to get a drill or something, and he looks at me and he goes, oh, that ring that we saw, at that jewelry place, that'd be a good engagement ring, if you, wanted to get married.
Wow. Did he have the ring with him?
Oh, no. We'd just seen it.
He was suggesting that perhaps you wanted to walk back and get it together.
Right. And I looked at him and I went, no. No, you don't get to propose to me on the escalator at Sears.
Good for you.
And it wasn't even going up. It was going down.
That's right.
Yeah. Which is just a metaphor for where your relationship was going if you said yes. All right.
So
much better, Laura.
And then, 2 weeks later, he took me out on a romantic date.
And did it right.
Proposed beautifully. And we were married for many, many years and have an amazing child. And, so it all worked out well.
There you go. A happy ending. Fantastic. Thank you, Laura. You know how we always joke, Kevin, we say that stars are just like us?
Yeah.
Travis Barker had his entire morning turned upside down by what? About a 6-year-old, Travis? Who was calling the shots at your house this morning?
Oh, my gosh. My daughter. Yeah. She's the boss.
And how old is she?
She's 8.
Yeah. She wanted nothing to do with getting up and getting out of bed on time and getting to school so that you could make this interview.
Yeah, we had a crazy weekend.
Yeah, you had a little birthday party going on this weekend. It looked like fun.
Yeah, my son had like a performance. He plays with a DJ drummer duo, rapper duo. So we did that. And then, unfortunately, there was like a funeral this weekend. It was an action-packed weekend.
It's circle of life, man.
Truly.
Well, we always say yes when we get the word, when the Travis Barker bat signal goes up in the sky that you've got something you want to talk about. So we heard that you wanted to come into KROQ. You got a bunch of cool stuff going on. So where do you want to start, man?
Yeah, I wanted to come by and personally give you guys our Misfits collab. I've loved that band since I was like a kid, they're just amazing. So we did this official collab with Jerry Only from the Misfits, and it's just been an honor. You know, it's rooted in punk rock and like our history, my history. So yeah, it's a really, really fun collab.
You tell me about your history with the Misfits. Like, what's your earliest memory of that band?
My earliest memory was hearing Metallica cover Last Caress, and I was so obsessed with the lyrics, and it was so, I don't even know if I could say them on the air.
Right.
but hearing them say that, it was like, oh man, I was like in 7th or 8th grade, and you couldn't help but want to play it because it was so, you know, they were saying the gnarliest things ever. It was,
right.
You know, so bad to repeat the lyrics, and then, you know, I graduated on to buying my own Misfits albums and loving, like, Hybrid Moments and We Are 138 and, you know, Skulls, everything, you know, everything that the Misfits has to offer. And then I was always, you know it's divided now, but I was always a huge Glenn Danzig fan, a Doyle fan, Jerry Only fan. So I've always loved the band, you know, so this was a really, really special collab. We've done a lot of special collabs lately, you know, leading into the bike. Yeah, the bike we did with PK Ripper. It was like SE Bikes has been around for like 30 years. I grew up racing BMX when I was a kid and loving BMX. So for that to come full circle 30 years later and we do a collab with Famous.
How much did you race when you were a kid? What was your worst injury?
I did it until...
That can't go well.
Yeah, I did it until my friend Bobby Gourlay like fell off a... you know, there was a quarter pipe in our neighborhood everyone rode and I saw him. He got all the way up to the top. He like stalled on his back tire.
Yeah.
And then he hit face first and went into convulsions.
Oh!
It was terrible and I witnessed the whole thing. So from then, I stuck to my skateboarding roots.
Yeah.
And I continued skateboarding. You know, it's just as gnarly skateboarding, man. You could get really, really messed up. But yeah, you know, both skateboarding and BMX really shaped me, you know, from everything from the music I listen to everything, really.
It's interesting how much you're going back to things that were big influences on you as a kid, and they still seem to affect you as much. You still seem to have that powerful connection with those things that you were in love with when you were, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old.
Yeah, I mean, when I put on Last Caress by the Misfits to this day, still, you know what I mean? You want to, like, scream as loud as you can in the car. And I still ride my bike, you know. I ride all around town. Unless I got to pick up my kids or I got to take my drums to the studio or something, I'm on my bike. It's just nice, you know?
Yeah. Well, we have two conversations going on at the same time. Let me finish up the Misfits one by asking. So you're a huge fan of theirs. Then once you become a musician and are in a punk rock band, did you ever have occasion to open for them or get to know them, become friends with them?
You know, earlier this year in Canada, Blink was playing a set, but I was playing drums with H2O on the side stage, and Jerry Only and the Misfits were playing, you know, a couple slots after us.
Right.
So I went over there and, you know, Jerry's super, super nice. You know, he came over and gave my kids Misfit masks and like, he's just...
Were you geeking out on
the best? Yeah. Well, it always pays off. You like someone forever and then you meet him and they're actually stand-up solid guy. It was just...
That doesn't happen a lot, it seems.
You know,
it really seems like you build them up so high in your mind, and then you meet them and say, oh, I wish I hadn't met them.
Yeah. There's a lot of people I stay away from I don't want to meet that I like a lot.
Because you're afraid
yeah.
they won't live up to what you think of them?
Yeah. I mean, but, you know, that wasn't the case with him. He was just so nice, so cool.
So this collaboration, this is official Misfits merchandise that Stars and Straps are putting out.
Yeah. It's available at famousstarsandstraps.com right now. So it's available right now, but then... our full length, like kind of like we have a whole capsule of stuff with the Misfits that come out next fall. But we got this out for Halloween.
I find it hard to believe the Famous Stars and Straps is at its 15th year anniversary.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It's been a long time, yeah.
But
I learned quite a bit.
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, well, you know, there's a lot of cats in the clothing industry. It was either, you know, they started, it was like a startup with their dad's money and they were all, you know, millionaires. Like, my dad didn't have nothing, you know, he's like lower middle class blue collar worker,
right.
Awesome Vietnam vet, you know, I wasn't an attorney. I didn't go to fashion school. It was just, so for me.
Wait, you're not an attorney, Travis Barker?
I am not an attorney and I didn't go to college. it was just the passion for wanting to do something, you know, just like when I started music, you know, I wasn't, you know. Born with drumsticks in my hand. My dad wasn't a famous drummer. It was like I loved these things and I was passionate about them and I practiced all the time, or I just, like, you know, I would stay up. I mean, it wasn't healthy, but I would stay up on Ritalin and other things when I started my clothing company, like, you know, like just tweaking out, trying to, you know, figure everything out. I made tons of mistakes over the last 15 years and made a lot of great decisions.
If you were going to start it again today, would it be completely different?
I would do it exactly the same.
You would?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're not learning from any mistakes?
Well, no, I did learn from mistakes, but I think they're like, it's like growth, you know. It's like growth. You just gotta, it's
gotta,
no
go
one teaches
it.
You that. Yeah, you gotta go through it. So
Travis, a lot of the collaborations, you know, on paper make sense. Like, I can see why you're working with the Misfits. I can see the SE Bikes, for instance, and some of the graffiti and tattoo artists that you've done collabs with in the past, I can see. Family Guy is the one that ought – one of these things is not like the others. Like, I don't see how the Stars and Straps and Family Guy work. It does work when I look at the artwork, but how did something like that even happen?
You know, it came across in all of our artists. Like, I have great artists, like a great art team, and it was like – it was like a really – and big fans of Family Guy, you know? So when it came through, they already had, like, ideas. There was already – I mean, when it was presented to me, there was already art to go along with it. They were so excited about it.
That's pretty
cool. So, yeah, it was pretty cool. And, you know, you always got to throw a left, you know? Like, even when you make an album, you can't, like – everything on the album can't be predictable. It's
right.
Going to be something where, like –
that's why you let Tom sing some of the songs.
Exactly. So yeah, like it's cool to throw everyone a left, and Family Guy was just cool, and our spin on it, you know, we definitely still kept it us.
Oh, the artwork is so cool. So,
thank you.
Oh, you put them in the hood, that's for sure.
Yeah, Family Guy went to the hood.
So you can find all of the stuff that we're talking about, the Misfits, the Family Guy, the SE Bikes. You can find it at famoussas.com, Famous Stars and Straps, if you don't remember, and it'll automatically go to famoussas.com. Do you have like a million collaborations that you want to do, like you've planned them out in advance, or is it just whatever your next idea is, you'll pursue that?
Yeah, we still have a couple more this year. Like we did a switchblade this year too, like a knife, which is really cool. But it was like a survival knife with like glass breaker.
What's happening?
Seatbelt cutter.
When we had a conversation about having you in, and Dave, the King of Mexico, started telling us all of these different collaborations that you were doing, and it's impossible to guess what's next. Like, why a knife? How did that come about?
That was another thing. But, I mean, I didn't want it to be like a weapon, but it is. I mean, I carry it in my car, like glass breaker, seatbelt cutter, and blade. But it has like it's hydro-dipped. So it's like the blade is actually printed on. You know,
okay.
It's not just a blade. And it's like it's the same camo that's on our SE bike. So everything kind of goes together, you know?
But what made you say, I'm going to do a knife?
Why not?
Come on, Kevin, why not?
No, it was just cool. Like, who makes a knife, you know? So that was a bit, I mean, we sold out of them instantly,
sure.
You know, the first day. Then we did
Well, that's what America needs, is more kids with knives on the street,
right?
Travis. Thank you for that.
We're doing one with Pusshead, who did the OG, like, Metallica art, Misfits art, who's like one of, he did the art for my Give the Drummer Some album.
Mm-hmm.
We do one with Luke Westman, who's a really great tattoo artist, Chewy Quintanar. So there's like some that are predictable, you know, like tattoo community, but, you know, they just keep coming.
Let's talk about music for a little bit. This is Travis Barker in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show, talking about, among other things, the Famous Stars and Straps 15th anniversary and all the great new collaborations they're doing. You were playing at Staples Center this week with Demi Lovato?
Yeah, I played. It was a weird week. You know, I started off with Demi Lovato at Staples, and then ended with Steve Aoki and Waka Flocka at Kimmel.
Okay, cool. How?
I feel like that's a normal week for you, though.
I like those weeks.
Yeah,
those weeks are always
so
interesting. You know?
Weird. And how do you get hooked up with Demi Lovato and all of that?
Yeah, how does that happen?
You know, she's a sweetheart, man. We've been, she actually, something cool about her, she's a huge Transplants fan.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, like that was our first thing. She's like, you know, I have a shirt from the first album you guys signed for me, you know, when I met her one time through my kids, because they're big fans. But, yeah, so I was, you know, I was talking to her, and she's like, you coming to my show tomorrow? I said, yeah, I think I'm bringing the kids. And then maybe like 3 hours later, it was midnight, she's like, would you play with me? And I was like, sure. You know, so she sent me the music, and, you know, a couple hours later, we were on stage rocking together. And she's a drummer.
What?
Yeah, she plays drums. She's really talented.
I didn't know that.
Man. She plays, because, you know, you know, my kids grew up on it more than I did, you know, but she plays guitar, piano, sings, and plays drums.
So is awesome. There any kind of music you don't like, Travis?
Not really. I
or are you
try
one of those people who thinks that.
That
there's good in every genre? Like if there were a country artist that wanted to play with you and you dug them, you would do it, right?
Yeah, like outlaw rebel country. I love. Mm-hmm. You know, I had that came up a couple years back, like when they asked me to do the Country Music Awards, and I was like, oh, of course I would. You know, like I grew up on Willie Nelson and Johnny Cash and Buck Owens, so it was a tribute to Buck Owens, who I had grown up on, who passed away. So when they asked me to do that, it was like. That was another full circle moment. It was a show I could really invite my pops to, and I knew he would enjoy it. So, yeah, there's always cool things
you
like that.
You have the weirdest life. You really do.
Those things keep it interesting. You know, the month that I've been home from Europe has been interesting. I got off the boat, and they asked me to go do America's Got Talent with this acrobat crew. And the next morning, I'm in America's Got Talent, and there's kids flying over my drum set doing, like, backflips and stuff. So, you know, I never complain, man. I love, love, love what I do. So.
You sure do. Let me ask you this, if I can phrase this question properly. Is there a great difference in style when you're playing on a country song versus when you're playing on a punk rock song or a jazz song or anything else? I mean, because there are people who are experts in that genre of music. Are you able to pretty much fake it so you can play any style?
Well, I grew up playing everything, but like, for example, that gig, I learned the exact everything Buck Owens drummer did.
Oh, is that right?
And I showed up there because I knew it was sensitive too. Like Buck Owens had just passed and I really wanted to nail it. I wanted to play exactly what was there. And the guy's like, hey man, there was a lot of mistakes on that record. You're playing them. So don't play his drum parts. I want you to play your drum parts.
Wow.
So yeah, he's like, you know, there was so certain things we wanted him to do different. So, and then I got complete freedom.
Did it occur to you that they were mistakes when you were learning it, or did you just like, I wouldn't have made that choice?
Nah, I was just, you know, I thought some things were a little weird or whatever, but I was like, I want to do it just like he did, because if everyone there is going to be, you know, playing that song, I'm going to,
then that's
you know,
what they'd expect.
That's fascinating.
And it was crazy during that, out of all the performances I've done, all the rappers I've worked with, it was probably the most gangster event that happened when I was playing with them. We were like rehearsing. And, you know, there's a lot of big country artists like Dwight Yoakam, Brad Paisley, Buck Owens' son. And we're learning the songs, we're going through it. And one of them turns to the other and he goes, hey, man, you can't be messing up. We got to be on because we have enemies out there tonight. So everyone's got to be playing. Yeah. Everyone's got to be a 10. Everyone's got to know what we're doing, the arrangement. And we've got to kill it. We have enemies in the crowd. Nobody mess up.
What does that mean?
What does that mean?
It means like, you know, I mean, old country, you know, outlaw
country. Is the North
still
fighting the South? What's happening?
Yeah, basically. You know, they had artists they didn't get down with in the crowd. And he was like, nobody better, you know.
Really?
F up.
Wow.
So it was pretty gangster. I was like, wow, this is awesome, you know. These guys really care about it.
Listen, we're almost out of time, unfortunately, Travis, and I feel like we could talk to you for 2 hours straight because you have so many great things going on. But I have to ask, and I know you'll be back in before it comes out, but you're more than halfway through writing your autobiography now.
My memoir is almost done. I actually, last Friday, it basically went to the editors now.
Oh, no
so,
kidding.
Yeah, wow. They'll you know, give me feedback like, hey, you know, give me more of this or less of this, but it's... You know, every chapter's finished, and then I have like a discography where I talk about everyone I've played with and
that's
going to
be amazing.
Where.
Is this something you have wanted to do for a long time, or was this an idea that they pitched you and sort of talked you into? Because you're a fairly private person when it comes to a lot of aspects of your life.
Yeah, I mean, right after the accident, you know, I got pitched a bunch of stuff like go on Oprah, go do this, and I wasn't solid enough to do any of that.
Right.
I would have broke down.
Your heart wasn't in it.
I would have been bawling, yeah. Not even be able to speak the whole time. So after time went on, between that and then I had like a cancer scare, I was like, man, I could kind of go at any moment. So maybe I will take the offers to write a book because it'd be kind of cool to get it out. In case something does happen to me.
Do you have a really great memory or did you have to go back? Because you've done so many weird one-off and strange things. You find yourself in weird situations. Did you have to go back and talk to people?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's a lot. I mean, for one, I mean, it's therapeutic. Once you start talking about it, you'll start reading over it and go, oh, yeah, and this happened and this happened. But there's a lot of interviews in my book. Like Skinhead Rob is very popular in my book. Mark Hoppus is in the book, like close friends. So it's not just, you know how sometimes you read a memoir and you're like, man, I don't know if that happened. Like
right.
You're just saying that, whatever. Like I have all the witnesses, all of
look, nobody
everyone
doubts.
To back it up. So it's pretty interesting.
Nobody doubts your stories.
Because they're all true.
There's some.
That's
there's
what's
some,
insane about you.
Yeah. You know, I talk about getting too high when I invited, we all were supposed to go watch Drumline, and I got too high and I didn't make it to the movie theater.
Oh, yeah.
One of my buddies brings that up. Yeah, it's pretty funny. But yeah, there's
He's
a lot
talking
of,
about me and Dave, the King of Mexico, because we were mocking Drumline, I think. And Travis was like, look, not until you see it.
Yeah.
Right. And we went over there, and we were 2.5 hours later than we thought, but
yeah,
we got there.
I was too high to even come to you guys. So, yeah, there's some good, you know, there's a lot of, you know, like I said, like you said, I'm not, you know, I've always been the quiet guy in Blink. I'm not, you know, busting out, you know, penis jokes or whatever. But the memoir, I hope, is like a crash course for a lot of people.
When do you think that'll come out?
It'll come out in March.
March.
That's fantastic. Yeah. Oh, I can't wait.
Can we have
I
you
can't
back
wait,
in
Travis.
Oh, absolutely. I'd love to be in.
All right. Well, sadly, we have to leave it there, Travis. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to invite people to go to famousstarsandstraps.com and catch up on all the great collaborations. And just for 45 seconds before we say goodbye, we're going to put a picture of this bike up at krock.com so that people can go. They can hear this interview again. Tell me about this bike, because we're going to give this one away. We're going to give away the first one.
Yeah, this is a limited edition SE Big Ripper. So like your normal BMX bikes are 24-inch. This is a 29-inch.
Made for adults.
Yeah, it's a big boy. And it's custom, you know, limited. It's all camo. It's all got, like, custom engraving, embossing, thick slick tires. It's crazy. It's the best. It's like my dream BMX. It's like my BMX bike I dreamed of, like, as a kid on steroids. So, yeah, man, whoever wins it, I hope they enjoy it.
What's it worth, Travis?
I think they retail for, like, $900.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. Every time I ride it, someone, they're like, yo, how much is that? I go, $900. The people get a sad face. It's amazing. I mean, they're the best bike company. You know, PK Ripper is amazing. Lightning, actually, from K-Rock, originally hooked me and the SE bike family up together. So shout out to
Lightning.
Oh,
that's great. Yeah. Well, give us a little bit of time, kids, and we'll get all this information up at the website, and there'll be a way for you to, you know, to enter to win. And we'll actually give that away this week, because that is a very, very cool item. Travis, you know how much we love you, sincerely, from the bottom of our hearts.
I love you guys too, man.
We really appreciate you coming in and spending a little bit of time with us. Let's do it again soon, okay?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Walter O'Brien joins us in studio in about 10 minutes or so here on the Kevin Avid Show on K-Rock. You don't know the name, but you'll be impressed. He's got an IQ of 197. I wonder if he could have talked to Bono and not hung up on him at the end.
Yeah.
I think that would have been something that Walter could have handled.
I think someone with a 50-point IQ could have done that.
He was saying goodbye in the famous words of Kevin Ryder. He was.
Right, he was saying goodbye.
Yeah,
right.
I wasn't finished saying goodbye.
But
it wasn't over.
He said, okay, great, bye, love ya. And, like, he said five other things. When am I supposed to hang up?
You know what? When he finished talking, that's when you should have hung up.
When he was
when
done.
The conversation is over,
we
that's
got bills
what you
to pay.
Do.
We got to get out.
You got to get out, that's for sure.
When you're watching a movie, do you go, there's 2 minutes left, close it off. I got the intent.
I don't need to know who the killer is.
They were wrapping up
the movie.
He's in the hang-up
chair. Oh, it's the
chair? Yeah.
I didn't
there's
realize.
Nothing he could do.
There's nothing you could do. You sit in this chair.
It's
then
the hang-up chair.
You become a terrorist situation.
Exactly.
Well, actually, I'm glad that Party Bus Kevin just made a surprise appearance here on
so
the Kevin
Beach
Show.
I'm so glad you also are having me be here.
Party Bus Kevin, you're going to be very excited to hear this piece of tape that we have. We got time to play a couple of minutes of it. Cheryl Teagues is a name that maybe some of our listeners don't know.
Old, stupid, absurd.
That's right. She was very popular as a model, Sports Illustrated cover girl. She was a poster on every teenage boy's room back along with Farrah Fawcett. No, in the 70s.
1912.
But she still has aged well. She's still a very attractive woman.
So ugly.
She's from Minnesota. And she was in Minnesota the other day, and they asked her to throw out the first pitch at a Twins-Tigers game. And then part of what they wanted her to do that same night was to go up into the booth during the fourth inning and sit in with the broadcasters who were calling the game. And Party Bus Kevin, I thought I was listening to you on the radio a little bit.
How dare you, absurd.
Here's how it begins with Cheryl Teagues, who's talking about why she actually wasn't able to throw out the first pitch as scheduled.
Did something to my knee, and it hurts like hell. And I can't twist my body left, right, whatever. Can I tell you that I threw out the first pitch for the Dodger game because I'm from Los Angeles? It was a perfect pitch.
Was it?
Yep.
All right, stop right there. How drunk is she, you guys?
She does sound drunk.
She had a lot of beers at the party game.
When you hear somebody go, yep, that's one indication that somebody is a sloppy drug. All right, here's poor Cheryl.
There's not a scratch on the ball. There's not a piece of dirt on the ball.
All right.
I was right up there. Well, Ronald McDonald House is just an amazing program. Everybody, please go out and research it, look out about it, learn something about it.
All right, stop right there. Party bus Kevin, what's she trying to tell me about Ronald McDonald House?
Don't be stupid. She wants you to look out about it and go online and be all of about it and have to give good service.
Okay. All right, more please.
Cambria is their sponsor, and they have made these houses livable, environmentally correct. They've been involved with Ronald McDonald for such a long time, and I'm telling you, I mean, that is, whoa, that is unheard of, and the generosity is outstanding.
Okay. So. All right, stop right there. So there's something about the frequency of where she's keeping her voice. Is it like she's
there
trying to?
Is she, what's I understand happening? What she's saying.
Oh, you do?
You
good.
Don't get it, but I know she not has the environmentalist impact of the house.
Right.
She's often in business with Ronald McDonald.
Apparently, she's very happy about her association with Ronald McDonald. All right, bring it home for me, Cheryl Teagues.
I've been working with Cambria for, 7-8 years, something like that. And it's a natural. Cambria makes natural quartz countertops.
Sure.
So they made these houses comfortable and invite. Aren't we supposed to be watching the game?
Well, we are watching the game, but we're supposed to be talking about your connection with the game.
Well, I'll just keep talking.
Okay, I don't think that's necessary. Actually,
thank you
very much.
I'll just keep talking, too. I don't care.
It's so awkward for them.
You're awkward.
It's so awkward. I'm listening to those poor broadcasters trying to call the Twins game, and I feel like I know exactly how they feel. I have been those guys for 25 years.
I can never have put natural quartz in your house.
That's an excellent point. Kevin, thank you. Beer Mug was on a red carpet with a microphone and lots of stars. You'll hear the first part of that tape coming up in about 50 minutes or so here on Kerrick. I feel like it's been a long time since we've had any Mugs interviews.
It has.
Yeah.
And very excited about this.
Time wasn't great, but this time it's a two-parter. We have one coming up next and then one coming up a little bit later on this morning.
Can't wait. First, though, let's talk about American hero Buzz Aldrin, a man I admire very much, West Point graduate, fighter pilot in the Korean War, went on to be part of NASA and the team that arrived at and landed on the moon. Second man to walk on the moon.
Remember how excited you were and how dull he was when he came in?
You know, he is of advanced age right now, and his storytelling has he's lost a beat in that. But I love Buzz, and I admire him so much for what he's done. In recent years, he's been famous for things other than walking on the moon. He did punch a guy in the face who approached him on the street and accused him of being part of a conspiracy to fake the moon landing. You remember that?
Yeah, they did it on a...
Decked a guy.
Yeah. Yeah, actually punched him in the face. That was awesome.
And then he was also on Dancing with the Stars a few years ago, and that's when we really started to take notice of him on this show, because he has turned into perhaps a dirty old man. Here's a little piece of tape of Buzz with his partner at the time, the professional dancer that he was teamed up with for Dancing with the Stars, named Ashley.
I'm Ashley Costa.
And I'm Buzz. When I first met Ashley, I thought, this is a really cute babe. This is going to be a real treat.
And Buzz, just for the duration of the time that he was on the show, seemed a little handsy and a little bit creepy. Well, he was back on our TV over the weekend, and Ralph brought us this story yesterday on the E! Network, I think. They did a show called Aliens on the Moon.
I think it was sci-fi, but doesn't matter.
Sci-fi channel, okay. And they got into all sorts of conspiracies about how that's why we don't go back to the moon anymore, is because we know the aliens are there, and they've warned us off, and it's a big conspiracy. And even Buzz Aldrin brought up something that happened to him while he was, up there for the Apollo 11 mission.
60 seconds.
I saw this illumination that was moving with respect to the stars. we were smart enough to not say, Houston, there's a light out there that's following us. So technically, it becomes an unidentified flying object.
Well, we heard that and we thought, we need to know more about what Mr. Aldrin saw. So we asked Dave, hey, could you line him up? And I believe we have Buzz Aldrin on the phone with us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hi, Mr. Aldrin. Welcome back to the program, sir.
I'm Buzz.
You are, in fact, Buzz. Yeah, how you doing?
I'm good. How you doing?
Congratulations on the 45th anniversary just passed this weekend of you and Mr. Armstrong walking on the moon.
Yeah, I made it.
You did.
Neil's dead.
Right?
Oh, okay.
That's true. That's right. Not. There's nothing funny about that.
I'm Buzz.
We have a question about that piece of tape that we just played about you seeing the aliens. You said we were smart enough not to tell Houston about that.
Yeah.
Doesn't it seem like as an astronaut in space, perhaps Houston should know what's going on up there?
They'd think we're crazy.
Right, but your job is to provide them accurate information from out in space.
You want to
You're the eyes and ears of NASA.
You want to start an intergalactic war between the aliens and us?
Well, I don't think people wholeheartedly...
Did you see Independence Day?
Didn't see that.
Silence! That was the answer. Silence.
So, right. In your opinion, you talked about these lights that you saw that were unidentified. You're not sure what they were. Yeah. Do you believe they were what we would refer to as aliens?
I know they were.
How do you know?
Because I'm friends with them now.
You're friends with the aliens that are on the moon?
Oh, yeah.
How exactly does that work?
They come visit me here in my space station, also
you
known
have
as my garage.
Oh, your garage, okay.
Yeah.
So they go back and forth from the moon where they live to Earth where they visit you?
Sure, we hang out here. I get together with them for the anal probes.
Ooh.
Yeah, I'm Buzz.
Wait, that's what an anal probe sounds like?
Oh, yeah.
Huh.
Woo!
I would think that would be the worst part of interacting with aliens.
Oh, I'm Buzz.
Right. Boy, they do it a lot, don't they?
They do if you pay them enough.
That's an awful lot of anal probes. So what are they here for? What are they trying? I mean, what are they trying to learn by being inside your butt?
That's a fair question.
I don't care as long as they're there.
Here's a WaterWise garden tip from your friendly garden experts at Armstrong Garden Center. Save water in your garden and reduce weeds by applying a 2 to 3 inch layer of mulch. For more WaterWise garden tips, visit your neighborhood Armstrong Garden Centers. I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
It's Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
It is 25 minutes after 8 o'clock.
Wait, can we do more mulch talk with Lisa May?
Kevin gave me this look at the end and I started to crack up.
Well, what are you doing, Lisa?
She's telling us about mulch.
What's happening right now?
I don't need to know how to garden.
Look,
what's
water.
Going on?
Water is important,
all right,
people.
Take
Listen
it easy.
Up.
Stop all
talking
right,
about
stand,
mulch.
Drought.
Stand down, Lisa. Stand down.
Dear God, woman.
This is going to be fun. For many weeks now, we've been playing a song here on K-Rock called Take Me to Church that the kids just love. And now it's time to meet the man behind the song. Ladies and gentlemen, Hozier joins us in studio here in the Kevin and Bean Show. Hello, sir. How are you?
Hey, good. Thank you very much.
It's our pleasure to have you. First of all, I want to know about your little town in Ireland. Tell me, I've not been to Bray. What's that all about?
Yeah, Bray. Bray is actually where I went to school, but I'm actually from a place which is further south and more in the countryside. So Bray is a nice seaside town. There's a lovely seafront and a place called Brayhead, which is
small town though, low population.
It's much smaller than Dublin, but it's definitely worthy of the word town. I think, the name town.
what kind of music industry does it have there? I mean, is there much?
Bray would be, you know, there's a couple bars where people play.
That's
know.
It.
Oh yeah, so, you know, singer songwriters, a couple bands and stuff.
I'm always fascinated with how people grow up in a tiny place. And they go, hey, I can make music and get out of here. Like, how do you even get that idea?
Yeah, I don't know. I think
was that your idea?
I don't know. It was so hard to kind of look ahead. But my I just wanted to make music that I could be proud of and hope that I could make music that people would enjoy as much as I have enjoyed music. You know what I mean? And I mean that's the ultimate kind of the biggest achievement would be making something that you that somebody else could enjoy as much as you have enjoyed.
But I can't imagine what must have been going through your head. You started recording in your attic, right?
Yes.
So now you're in your attic and you're by yourself.
Yeah.
Recording music.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And cut to today. I mean, you know, you're on Saturday Night Live and all this other stuff that's happened.
Yeah, no, it's quite a turnaround, yeah. I was incredibly fortunate. So I think with the internet and with just with sharing and the video went, you know, got a lot of places very quickly. And there's no borders on the internet, you know what I mean? So something gets as quickly to your next door neighbor as it does to somebody here in L.A.
Yeah.
From Wicklow, you know?
And that's what happened is you made a little video for Take Me to Church and put it up and it just took off from there?
Yes, yeah. So, the video was filmed by a team called Feel Good Lost, who are based in Cork in Ireland. And we just sat down and talked about the video treatment. And I think, yeah, it just... It moved a lot of people, and
then television shows started playing it. Right?
Yes.
I mean, it was on Leftovers.
Yeah. I've been very, very fortunate. I, to be honest, I can't explain how it happens.
Does it feel like it's happened fast for you, or are you one of those 10-year overnight successes that we run into from time to time?
I wouldn't be quite a 10-year overnight success. I actually thought that this would take me 5 to. You know, in that way, I mean, all the vocals on Take Me to Church were still are just the attic vocals, you know what I mean? And
right.
A huge amount of the elements on the album are the attic elements. And in that regard, it's you know what I mean? I've been at this for many years and writing since I was a young teenager and working with different producers and learning about recording and songwriting.
How many songs would you guess, round guess, that you have written before this breakout?
I don't.
Is it 10? Is it 100?
Oh, much more. It wouldn't be. I don't know if it'd be 100, but it'd be you know, to 60 maybe or something like that.
Wow. So. Do you have any mulch tips?
Yeah.
Some water wise suggestions you can make for us.
Yes. Yeah.
Speaking of water, you were out in the Joshua Tree yesterday, which is one of the most beautiful parts of California. Had you ever seen an environment like that before?
Never. So yeah, that was new to me, and it's always amazing to get an actual opportunity to see, you know, to see America when you're on tour, or see anywhere when you're on tour, because it can be so hectic.
Forgive me if this is a hack question, but was some of the attraction of going to the Joshua Tree because of the connection with you two from your country?
It's not a hack question, but it wasn't. I have to say, no, it was. We were filming a music.
So you hate you too? That's what you're saying?
That's No,
we're just kidding.
It was for a music video. So we went out there to do a few shots. In an old kind of beat up Dodge, like an old maybe late 70s Dodge or something like that. Great.
Do you enjoy making videos, Hosier?
Videos honestly are I think a lot of musicians, it's a difficult one because it's I love working with new mediums and working with people creatively, but it's very hard when it's not my medium, so it's very hard when you don't have control of something or it can feel like a lottery, you know what I mean?
Do you have creative control? I mean, do they
run
it by you?
And certainly, yes.
See how it came out?
Certainly, yeah.
No, that's not my intention at all.
But in music and stuff, I'm there present for every aspect of it.
Right.
And I'm can be as much of an anal control freak as I want to be with video and stuff. It's, you know. And also,
it is interesting, though, that we live in such a multimedia world that, I mean, a guy who can write songs and sing, and you're great at both of those things, doesn't mean necessarily that you have any interest or talent to make music videos. I mean, you're asked to do a lot as an entertainer in the 21st century.
Yeah. No, I've been fortunate so far. I mean, Take Me to Church was very successful. I think part of it is musicians are, when they're on, say, album promo runs, labels decide what the singles are, and then you have to squeeze in making the video somewhere on that schedule, and can be very quick and stressful.
Sure. Tell us about Saturday Night Live. What was that?
That was amazing. That was a dream come true. So,
is that a show you were familiar with? It's not on in Ireland, right?
It's not aired, but I mean, thankfully the internet exists. So, which is nice. But I'm very aware of Saturday Night Live, and I was a big Blues Brothers fan from a very, very young age, and kind of, you know, finding out where they came from and stuff, and that's how I actually first found out about SNL.
Which cast member were you most excited to meet this weekend?
This weekend, I would have to say Bill Hader, which you know what I mean.
He's
and
the best,
just because he was back and you know and hosting, and Christian Wiig was there. But then I was freaked out of my mind because like Seth Rogen was there, all of Bill Hader's friends and stuff, and
right.
I had come. Bill Paul Rudd was there. Exactly.
Did you feel like when are they going to realize I don't belong here?
Totally. Yeah. How did they let me in here?
This is the voice of Hozier here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Of course, you know the song "Take Me to Church." The debut album is out now. You do have some shows coming up, but not that it helps anyone listening now because everything's sold out, including you've already sold out a show for February at the Fonda Theater. You already have a U.S. tour planned for next year. It looks like.
Yeah. Which is selling out fast. I got to say,
sounds like it.
Yeah. I've been very, very fortunate, and so something that I'm so excited to like. I'm always very excited to come over here. The response to shows and the support from people over here has been absolutely mind-blowing.
By the way, not for everybody, but for talented people, that is true. I mean, seriously. And we say this all the time, but it's exciting for us to have an artist come along that actually writes and sings music, and it's not all 10 producers and 40 writers, you know, to make something that just sounds like everything else on the radio. I mean, when your song comes on, you go, wow, that's different and it's new and it's fresh. And we really appreciate that and are grateful for that.
Wow. Well, thank you. That's really, really nice of you.
Well, we're happy to have you here, and we're going to walk down the hall to the Red Bull sound space. You've seen that. I guess you warmed up down there. It looks pretty cool, right?
Yeah. It's a cool looking room. I like it.
And you're going to do a couple numbers for us?
Yes.
Absolutely. We are excited. Hozier is here. We'll be playing live. Well, he'll be playing live. We'll be enjoying it when we return right after this at the Kevin and Bean Show at K-Rock.
We are live at the Red Bull Sound Space. Hozier is here for some live music on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Too good in crowds with folks around when they're playing the anthems of rape culture loud, crude and proud, creatures baying. All I've ever done is hide from my times when you're near me. Honey, when you kill the lights and kiss my eyes, I feel like a person for a moment of my life. But you don't know what hell you put me through to have someone kiss the skin that crawls from you, to feel your weight in arms I'd never used. It's the God that heroin prays to. It feels good. Over, see the way you hold yourself. feel against your body's borders. I know that you hate this place. Not a trace of me would argue, honey, we should run away. Oh, someday our baby and her mama and the damaged love she makes. But I don't know what else that I would do than try to kiss the skin that crawls from you, then feel your weight in arms I'd never use. It's the God that heroine prays to. It feels good, girl, it feels good. It feels good, girl, it feels good. It feels good, girl, it feels good. Oh, to be alone with you. Feels good, girl, it feels good, oh, to be alone with you.
How about that?
That's ridiculous. He's faking it. That didn't happen. That's not real. That wasn't done live.
That's called To Be Alone from the new album by Hozier. And he's got another song to play now.
Hey, before you play again, Hozier, you can hear me, right?
Yes.
You're so young. How did you get exposed to so much non-rock and roll music as such a young person? Who led you to blues and jazz and those other things that we hear in your music?
It would have been my dad and his record collection. So he played a lot of blues music.
Well, he's the coolest then. You have him to thank. That's awesome. Yeah. That was amazing. That was really, really great. Hozier is in the Red Bull Sound Space here at K-Rock. What's the deal, Kevin? What do we find out about how people can see this if they want to?
We are videotaping and we're going to put it up online. I'm not exactly sure when.
Today, Cody? Today?
What? Huh?
Oh, a couple days.
Couple days it's going to take for the turnaround,
B. Legal stuff, you know.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
We'll let you know when it's up.
We have time for another. What would you like to play, as if I can't guess?
I'm going to play Take Me to Church.
Yes. Good choice.
Our lover's got humor. She's the giggle at a funeral. Knows everybody's disapproval. I should have worshipped her sooner. If the heavens ever did speak, she's the last true mouthpiece. Every Sunday's getting more bleak, a fresh poison each week. We were born sick, you heard them say it. My church offers no absolutes. She tells me worship in the bedroom. The only heaven I'll be sent to is when I'm alone with you. I was born sick, but I love you and me to be well. Amen. 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 Take me to church. I'll worship like a dog at the shrine. Sunlight. something shiny, something meaty for the main course. That's a fine looking high horse. What you got in the stable? We've a load of starving faithful. That looks tasty, that looks plenty. This is hungry work. Take me to church, I'll worship like a dog at the shrine of delight. I'll tell you my sins and you can sharpen your knife. Offer me that, the stuff and good God, let me give you my life. Take me to church, I'll worship like a dog at the shrine of delight. I'll tell you my sins and you can sharpen your knife. Offer me that, the stuff. No sweeter innocence in our gentle sin. In the madness and sore of that sad earthly scene, only then I am human, only then I am clean.
How good did that sound?
That's extraordinary. That's outstanding. That is Hozier here on the Kevin and Bean Show, live from the Red Bull Sound Space at K-Rock. So great to meet you. Would your advice be to other musicians who may be listening today to do as you did and drop out of college and just double down on making it in the industry?
No, I would never advise it.
Really? Because it seems to have worked out pretty darn well for you, sir.
I know. I've no regrets. but if you do, you'll have many, many years of idleness ahead of you. But I think it's important to maybe to take time and know what exactly it is you want out of yourself.
Good advice. Yeah. And have a backup.
Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly. Well, this has really been fun. We really appreciate you coming by, and hopefully we'll see you again when you come back to town at the Fonda in February. Thanks so much for the time today.
Pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Michael Chiklis on the program today. Got a movie coming out this weekend. It looks pretty good. And our old friend Jay Moore joins us in about 20 minutes, doing 5 big shows in Ontario this weekend. That's all coming up in K-Rock. But first, we were talking last week, I think it was off the air, about Michael Cera, the actor from Arrested Development, who put out an album. Kind of a surprise release. None of us knew he was recording it. It just appeared on the internet one day. And it was okay. Kind of indie rock. And it got people starting to talk about what other actors have decided that they are also musicians.
Well, here's the problem. When you're good at one thing, you can be a great actor. And you assume that you're probably good at most things.
Talent is talent, right?
Right.
So then you go, I can do that.
Album, how hard can it be? And then they make an album, then they realize it's harder than it looks.
And the next thing you know, you're Carmen Electra. And you're right out there trying to do music, right? So there's a website that I am not familiar with, but apparently it's very popular, called Ranker.com. And that's all they do is lists on the internet that people then vote things up and down. So it's basically, it's crowdsourcing a list. And they'll have everything from celebrities who have aged the worst to what's the best ice cream, who's the funniest stand-up comedian, who's the best Dallas Cowboy of all time. So there's just nothing but thousands and thousands of lists, and you go on and you vote, okay?
Oh, wow.
So
you must never leave that site.
No kidding.
It can't be number 13. I've got to vote again.
It's list heaven. Bean's died and gone to list heaven.
It is self-selecting, though. I mean, it's not official or sure. It's just the people who choose to vote. So there's one up there on the worst actors turned musicians of all time.
Oh.
Now, who comes to mind on that list, Ralph? This is right in your wheelhouse when you think about actors who have become musicians.
Lorne Greene, Ringo.
Oh,
my God.
Nice pull.
I forgot about that.
He, unfortunately, is not on the list because no one who uses the internet knows who he is.
Ringo!
But there are so many
Leonard
names
Nimoy,
on here.
The Legend of Bilbo Baggins.
Oh, that's pretty bad. That's a good guess.
It's a great guess. I don't see Leonard Nimoy in the top 50 either. Although his friend William Shatner from Star Trek came in at number 12 on the list.
Sure, yeah.
Some of the others who just missed the top 10, and then we'll count down the top 10 worst actors turned musicians for you, include Jada Pinkett Smith at 13, Mr. T at 14. Billy Bob Thornton at 50, who, by the way, has a little bit of a side career as a musician. He's got four or five albums out.
You wouldn't say that to Tom Petty.
Wouldn't say that to Tom Petty at all. Kevin Bacon is number 18. Kevin Costner, number 19. Don Johnson, 20. Russell Crowe, 21. So I don't know. I mean, this seems like sort of a legitimate list.
I miss Don Johnson.
You miss
your Billy as a singer?
No, you
don't. I love that.
You don't miss that.
Awesome.
So I thought it might be fun to go through in the opinion of the people who choose to vote on Ranker.com, who are the 10 worst actor-turned-musicians. And I will warn you that their definition of actor is pretty low because there are several reality TV stars in this top 10, including at number 10. Do you remember that Heidi Montag put out a song?
Oh, that's right.
Just barely. Here it is.
Yep.
Oh. You're just mad because I'm sexy, famous, and rich.
I am useless when it comes to when we do bits like this where we play those little pop songs because that doesn't sound that much different than half of the songs I hear on amp radio anyway. You know, right. Like I can't really tell the difference between good music and bad music in that genre sometimes. Number 9 I know is awful because it's Keanu Reeves and his band Dog Star. Yo! That's Keanu. Remember his he was playing a lot for a while, remember?
Dogstar was for real, man.
Was it?
That's right.
Yeah, they toured and everything.
Oh, no kidding.
That's right. Number 8, and this one's going to hurt you a little bit, Ralph. Bruce Willis.
Bruno? The return of Bruno?
I'm afraid so.
Yeah, that's not.
Come on.
He should.
It seemed like even at the time when he made those records, it was kind of a joke.
Respect yourself.
It just seemed like he was in on the joke at least. He knew he wasn't good. He wasn't pretending to be a serious artist, I didn't think. As opposed to the artist at number 7 on the list of the worst actors turned musicians, Corey Feldman, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. He was special.
I hope he's still dressing up in Michael Jackson's old clothes.
By the way, as of a couple of years ago, he was still trying to do music.
Oh, yep. a couple of years ago. This year, a new video came out with him walking around with the girls in the lingerie. Remember the tour of his house? He's walking around.
Right.
That video of him at a party.
Oh, that's so awesome.
Yeah. Number 6, this is going to hurt some of our German listeners, but it's the Hoff.
Yeah.
Hey, the Berlin Wall would still be standing if it weren't for David Hasselhoff. And if you don't believe me, just ask him, okay?
That's not as good as Get In My Car, though. Remember that song? Yes.
What a hit. What's your evaluation on the quality of his singing? I mean, I know he's a character, but can he sing?
He's fine.
Yeah, I think he can sing.
It's how horrible the songs are. It's not really his singing that's so bad.
There are a lot of people who can sing, who can, you know, hit the notes, for example, but they're not really singers.
They're not really bringing anything special to it, right? Number 5, I think it's a little bit unfair because it's a song from a soundtrack in which this actor played a musician. And if you're thinking Rhinestone, Ralph, you're ahead of me. It's Sylvester Stallone. Stay out of my bedroom,
baby, if you can't take the Yeah. Oh, man, how is that not number 1?
And how do you not play Drinkenstein, by the way, if you're going to play a song from the Rhinestone soundtrack?
I don't know Drinkenstein.
Omar
pulled the clips for us here.
They call me Drinkenstein. You talk about how he gets evil when he drinks too much Budweiser.
Hey, Omar, would you pull Drinkenstein?
We need some Drinkenstein, please.
Please, by Sylvester Stallone.
Number 4, and I know, Kevin, this is one that you've been looking forward to because you recently found out that this actor has a couple of albums out as well, and he is the great
Steven Seagal.
Whisper your wildest dreams. Girl, it's all right by me.
Now, that doesn't sound terrible Mars. To me, by the way. That doesn't sound awful to me.
It's not, but he is.
He's not really singing either. Though.
Yeah, true. He's kind of whispering. He's whispering.
Now, I kind of wonder as we get into the top three here if the distaste that people on the internet have for these celebrities as people might influence their voting.
Come on, in other words, Fair Abraham.
Yeah, no kidding.
In other words, is it that their songs are so bad or it's just that you hate these people and that's why you want them high on this list?
Hold on, yes. Before you do number three, I just want to say if Tan Mom is not on this list, I'm going to burn this place down.
There's no Tan Mom.
Are you kidding? Tan Mom!
She had one single. She's not a singer. One novel.
You're wrong, sir.
She's no Fair Abraham.
All right, I don't know the top three. Let's do it.
Number three is an artist who has had two or three albums. I don't know how much success, but based on what we're about to hear, hopefully not much. Lindsay Lohan is at number three.
Yeah, there's no reason that couldn't be on Kiss right now.
That sounded okay to me for that kind of music.
Yeah, yeah, me too. And didn't she start as a singer?
No.
I don't think so.
Before she was an actress? I thought
so.
She did.
No. I don't think so.
She was a little child actress first.
Number two, and this is awful, I think we can all agree, and none of us are surprised to see Kim Kardashian on the list. Remember when she tried to float a music career a few years back?
Yeah.
Not really.
Oh, no, you don't remember?
Not really.
It was awful.
All right, here she is. They play in my jam.
Oh, yes.
Lyrically, it's good.
Yeah, well, it's
she did an interview just this past week. I can't remember where she was talking about any regrets that she's had in her life. And she listed her attempt at a music career as her number one regret, by the way.
Awesome.
Above the sex tape. Above the sex tape, which
well,
I guess
the sex tape gave her everything.
It launched her family.
Family and money.
Kevin, you say Tan Mom.
Better be Tan Mom.
You, Ralph, who number one is on the list of the worst actors turned singers.
Better be damn Farrah Abramson.
Well, you're close. It's Paris Hilton. I'm embarrassed to say I didn't hate that song at the time either, by the way, Paris Hilton song.
I didn't hate it either.
I hate her, too, but of course she doesn't sing anymore. She just goes and makes $100,000 a night as a DJ.
Well,
so
right. She's an expert DJ now.
That's true. That is
so
true.
She still is in the music business, but there you go. That's according to what's happening and people voting on the internet right now. The top 10 worst actors turned singers. Well, it happened again, you guys. For the third time in 2 weeks, a flight had to be diverted because of passengers getting into a fight over a reclining airline seat.
Really?
I am shocked.
That's weird how it comes in bunches.
Yeah.
You know? Can you imagine how angry you would be if your flight got diverted because two passengers got into a fight?
I would fight
for whatever the reason. Yeah. For whatever the reason.
Yeah.
This was a Delta flight from New York's LaGuardia Airport to West Palm Beach. It had to be rerouted to Jacksonville, Florida, inconveniencing hundreds and hundreds of people. So this whole put your seat back thing is just turning into a national conversation. One day we're going to laugh that we're even having this talk because fast and furious airlines are just deleting the ability to be able to recline your seat. So you're not going to have to worry about it anymore. Spirit Airlines already does it that way. Allegiant Air already does it that way. Monarch Air just announced that their new fleet will not include reclining seats. But it all started about 2 weeks ago with a little device called the Knee Defender. That's what the first fight was about. And here's an interview from MSNBC, I think, of the man who actually invented the Knee Defender. His name is Ira Goldman, and he tells why he came up with the device.
It wasn't the Knee Defender that caused the problem. The airline set things up, and it just so happens my legs are that long. When I sit down at the in my seat, while the plane's parked at the gate, my knees already hit the seat back in front of me. So without the Knee Defender, my kneecaps are going to stop a seat from reclining. And unfortunately, that's what happened too many times, sometimes with the hard part of the back of the seat. And so I came up with the Knee Defender. And people aren't using this to hog space. They're doing it to stop. And people have their laptop computer screens cracked when a seat reclines. People have babies on their laps that get smacked in the head with these things.
I'm going to call BS on that.
Yeah.
Are you? You don't think so?
I don't think any. I think you could be annoyed by it, but I'm not sure your computer screen cracks
And I'm not sure that a baby got slapped in the face.
Well, absurd.
I bet as a result of this story, a lot of people are running out and spending their $22 for the knee defender so they can stop the person in front of them for reclining. But we wanted to hear right from the man himself, Mr. Goldman. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock, sir.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's nice to talk to you as well. Are you surprised at how much controversy your little plastic device has caused in this country?
I am. I'm just stunned by everyone being so upset about what's happening. I'm just protecting my knees.
Right.
And, of course, all those babies who are being struck in the face by seats.
Now, has that ever happened?
Hundreds and hundreds of babies are being punched in the face by a seat back.
How are they punched or slapped?
Because you're sitting with a baby in your lap and someone puts that seat back and often will murder the baby.
I don't think I've ever heard of that happening even one time, sir.
Happens dozens of times on every flight in the U.S.
Every flight, wow.
And also screens of laptops are also being destroyed.
Yeah,
Often babies are being slammed into laptops. And the baby's heads are going through the laptop screen.
I'm not sure I buy either of those.
It's absolutely true.
Okay. Right. Now, what would you say to critics of the knee defender, sir, who say, look, I paid for the seat. The seat reclines. It's my right to recline. If you don't like it, tough.
I would say that bugs me.
Right.
So I have invented a piece of plastic that you slam into the pivot point of the seat that doesn't let you do that. So I win. I would say.
So basically, the person in front of you on the plane
is screwed.
Literally, physically cannot put their seat back.
That's right. The knee defender prohibits them from actually putting the seat back at all by jamming up the hinge there where the seat goes back.
Okay, but you can still put your seat back, though, even if you're using the knee defender for the person in front of you, right?
Of course, yes, because it's my right. I paid for the seat. Why can't I recline?
What? That doesn't make sense.
Why can't I kill a baby if there's one behind me?
Anybody wants anyone to get hurt or any fights to break out or any planes to be diverted. There has to be some better solution.
It is. The best solution is stop doing things that bother me on airplanes. That's the best
solution.
That
bother you specifically?
Yes. I've got a series now of inventions that are coming out on the success of the knee defender.
Oh, okay.
I'm also bothered by people who talk too loudly or eat too loudly on a plane next to me.
Eat too loudly.
So earplugs?
No. I've got a new device called the gob blocker. The gob blocker.
Okay.
Which is a large piece of plastic that inserts into the mouth of the person and has a locking mechanism behind their head so they can no longer talk or eat on the flight.
Well, you can't put that in somebody's mouth.
Why can't I?
Because it's a violation of their personal space. They're allowed to talk. They're allowed to eat.
I've already jammed up their hinge. Why can't I jam up their mouth? This way they will not eat and make noisy eating sounds, or they will not talk. So they will be going, and I haven't worked out how to stop that noise yet, but I will.
Yeah.
Also, I don't like people who sleep on planes, because often they will lean over and sleep on my shoulder. That's so annoying when someone next to you is sleeping on you.
Right.
So I've now got the new device called the Sleeper Waker.
Sleeper Waker.
Yes, which is a plastic device you put into both ears of the person while they're sleeping, and then you hit a button and 40,000 decibels of ear-shattering noise is blasted into their brain.
Okay, that's just cruel. It's inhuman.
But it keeps them awake.
Right. Yeah,
I guess it would. That's my point.
It's torture.
That's my point.
Have you run this idea by airlines or...
Speaking of torture...
Yeah.
What's worse than an overnight flight when you're trying to sleep and someone's got their reading light on and they're reading constantly?
I thought nobody was allowed to sleep on your plane.
I can sleep.
Okay, I'm sorry. So the reading light is on. That's annoying.
When the person is reading all over the plane, people are reading with their blinding lights on, reading their newspapers or their books or whatever.
That's a pretty focused light just on their lap, basically.
But it annoys me. Okay. So I've got a new device called the Eye Blinder.
Eye Blinder.
Yes. Which is the metal spikes I plunge into the eyeballs of people who are reading.
You can't. You can't do that.
Mr. Goldman? Ira?
It blinds them.
You can't do that. I mean, that is illegal.
It's assault.
I might blind them with a baby.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:26.
Bean's going into labor.
I try not to make too much noise, but it does hurt.
Wouldn't
hey, listen,
that be awesome?
We announced yesterday that System of a Down is coming to the Forum on April the 6th. You should go to KROQ.com and get all the details about that because we're giving away some cool stuff, including you on stage with the band. Tickets go on sale Friday at 10. Again, KROQ.com for the details. It's a Tuesday morning. We don't usually talk movies, Ralph, but...
But we're not going to be here.
We're not going to be here, and it's holiday season, and tons of good stuff comes out, so hit it, Steve.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
I'm sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
Bean's right, a ton of good movies are coming out for the holidays. Annie's also coming out. So there's that. Annie. Oh. What? You know what? Here's the thing. I saw the trailer for this months ago, and I said, wow, that looks awful. And now it's out, and people are saying, wow, that is awful.
My theory, Ralph, and yes. maybe nothing to this, is yes. the only reason that movie exists is because of how popular that Jay-Z Hard Knock Life song is. And that made people think, oh, Annie, that's a good thing.
Let's black up Annie.
Right.
Let's make Tanny.
Exactly.
And people will love it. Well, it turns out it's not good. And Cameron Diaz, by all counts, is embarrassing. Jamie Foxx seems to be the only one who comes away unscathed. And relatively
yeah.
unscathed. You know the story of Annie. She's a foster kid who lives with a mean orphanage lady. And then she meets Daddy Warbucks. Or in this case, in the rebooted Annie, Will Stacks. Because he's got stacks of cash. Why don't they call him Benjamins? Benjamin Stacks. That's Jamie Foxx. And then he's got a hard heart, but the little orphan makes him see the world in a new way. And they'll learn a lot about life and love.
But we don't
Nobody
have
needs
to
this.
See that, right?
Nobody needs okay. this. Here's a little scene where Annie's talking to Will Stacks, and she's afraid that... After she's found this lush life she's living in now that she's not in the orphanage anymore, but he's going to kick her out.
It's okay. I'm good at this part. I've had a lot of practice getting kicked out of places.
Put your bag down. You're not going anywhere.
Sandy's got to go.
Stop it. You and Sandy are staying here, and I don't care what happened last night.
No, I mean Sandy's got to go.
No, I mean, Sandy's got to go. Okay, well, is it champagne or gelato? Is it Mountain Dew or is it just plain old Dew?
Do not laugh at
is
that.
Is it lemonade or chicken nuggets? I should go. Now I want to go because my bladder's full. Come on, let's go.
Do not laugh at that,
the hell
Kevin.
Is wrong
Do not
with
encourage
you.
That.
You can't tell me not to laugh.
Do not laugh at that.
I can laugh if I want to laugh.
You did you not hear it?
Yeah,
did you not hear what they were saying? What's in your headphones? We were listening to a clip from Annie.
As was I.
Is there no oxygen that gets to your brain? Is that the problem?
It might be part of the problem. I don't know.
Are you? Is it autoerotic asphyxiation?
I can laugh if I want.
What's wrong with you?
You guys can't make me not laugh.
Night at the Museum, Secret of the Tomb, the third in the Night at the Museum trilogy. Who knew? Who knew there would be a trilogy of these movies? Here's the premise. Ben Stiller works at a museum, and then at night, everything comes to life in the museum. What? That's crazy.
I can't believe that happened again.
It's the third time it's happening. This is the usual suspects. Owen Wilson returns. Robin Williams, one of his last performances, returns as Teddy Roosevelt. And there's a new character as well. Sir Lancelot comes to life at the Knight Museum. I think it's hilarious that now fictional characters are coming to life as well at the museum. Here's Ben Stiller meeting Sir Lancelot.
I'm Larry. This is my son, Nick. Now, you... You remind me of a man I once knew at Camelot.
Really? One of the Knights of the Round Table?
No, Eric. Eric. Our fool. He was the funniest fool I ever met. He was so good. You have what he had. The gift.
That's weird.
You could be a fool.
Well, no. I don't know about that.
Oh, come on. Of course you could. We get you one of those hats with the, you know, the funny little dangly bells on.
Dangly bells?
Maybe if Sir Lancelot called poop gelato, Kevin would laugh at it.
You know, I haven't seen any of these museum movies. I know they're very popular.
But, I enjoyed the first one.
But I love Thomas Lennon so much, who created, you know, the story and writes some mm-hmm. stuff. And he's very bright and very smart. I'm sure there's some good moments in it.
Well, then why don't you go see them and you'll enjoy those films?
I guess for the commentary guy who hasn't seen any,
you really don't
any
love
of them.
Thomas Lennon or his work because you haven't seen any of these three films that he's made.
I support what he's doing, though.
No, you don't.
Nope.
By very nature that you did not pay any money to go see these films, you're not supporting what he's doing.
I can't argue with that.
All right. And lastly, The Hobbit. The Battle of the Five Armies. Yes, it is the 57th film for Peter Jackson in the middle. Doesn't it seem like this series has just been going on forever?
Yeah, I was a little kid when that first Lord of the Rings movie came out.
Yeah, we all were.
It does, but I love them all. Do you guys like them?
I saw the first one. I haven't seen any of The Hobbits, but I thought all three Lord of the Rings movies were great.
Yeah.
Well, you got a Hobbit now. The Battle of the Five Armies. Ian McKellen, Martin Freeman returns as Bilbo Baggins, Richard Armitage, Cate Blanchett. It is the Bilbo and company battling Smaug and guys with swords and things. There's big ogres. I don't know anything about this. But here are some clips from the trailer of The Hobbit, The Battle of the Five Armies.
Leave Sauron to me.
Bilbo is right. You cannot see what you have become. Everything I did for them. You started this. You will forgive me if I finish it.
I will not hide. When others fight our battles for us!
You have but one question to answer. How shall this day end?
So, there
you go. I give that two louds.
Two louds? Yeah. Two louds up?
Uh-huh.
There you go. That's what's coming out this weekend. So you can do what you want. Do what you want, I guess.
Kevin, have fun at Annie.
The sun will come out for Kevin.
I'm not going to see The Hobbit.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie beat.
This is Kevin. I think Christmas pretty much should be relegated to just after Thanksgiving. Until, say, December 25th at night, and then wait for another 11 months.
Well, that's interesting, because I think it's year-round. And I've got the doorbell to prove it.
Let's talk about my man, Bean.
What are you saying? What's your complaint today?
I do the show with...
Bean has his own theme now.
With a man named Bean, who is, he's
beginning to look a lot like Chris.
He makes a lot of interesting choices.
Yes. Me and Perry Como are hanging out on this side. What do you got?
He has moved up to Seattle. He lives on an island. He's got all his animals, and I am not exaggerating. Bean, tell me if I'm exaggerating that you listen to at least one Christmas song about 98% of the days of the year.
Yeah, that's accurate. I'm an enormous fan of Christmas music. It's my very favorite genre.
So odd.
You listen to Christmas music
so
all year long.
Yes. Like a song a day, just about.
At least, yeah. Bean has a CD jukebox in which he puts it on, you know, random, so that it just picks a random song. And he's got a bunch of Christmas CDs.
I got about 125 Christmas songs in the jukebox. Yeah, I do. It's my favorite kind of music. And, you know, I have occasionally, when we're talking right at the top of the hour, in the background, you'll hear the clock that I have in the other room that chimes Christmas songs at the top of every hour.
Would you kill yourself, Lisa?
Yes.
That's what I...
Dead as a doornail.
I would kill myself.
Are you especially attached to the holiday itself?
Yeah. It can't be crazy the family gatherings.
You don't like the family. That's a good point.
Yeah.
You don't like the gatherings.
You don't
so
like
much.
Kids. And
gift giving, you don't seem that big on.
I think I like Christmas. Well, I do. I enjoy giving the gifts.
No, you're a good gift giver, but it's not like, you know, you go nuts.
You don't
dress up as Santa or anything for the local children's hospital.
I enjoy Christmas entertainment, though. I love the holiday specials. I love the Christmas movies that are on.
Well, explain.
Yeah, please. What is it about?
I don't know.
Can you stop the music while we have the conversation? Would you mind?
Seriously. I don't know why it is that I like Christmas so much.
Well,
I mean,
come up with a damn reason, because I'm fed up with you.
Most people enjoy the holiday spirit around Christmas time.
Yeah,
nothing like you being
Christmas time. But that's the thing that makes it special is that it comes once a year, and so you get caught up in that special time of year.
But why should it only come once a year?
Because that makes it special.
Yeah, that makes it special. That's a good point.
Because, but Ralph, that's like saying sex is great, so I'm only going to have it once, and I'm not going to have it again for 45 days. You know what I mean?
Completely different.
If it's good, why not go with it more often, is what I'm saying.
Because
if you like Chinese food, you don't have it once a year.
I'll give you a perfect example. Would you watch Survivor every night all year?
No, I'm sick of Survivor.
Because there's
or West Wing.
Wait a minute, hold on, let me finish. Because there's a season in which you get excited about it, and then you put it away because it's too much.
You take down the tree.
Yep, and you let it go, and then you come back for the next Survivor. It better be another 3 or 4 months from now, and then you'll be ready for it again. That's the point.
You come back with renewed enthusiasm.
Yes. Bean? I feel that way about Christmas, actually.
We weren't necessarily going to just play music for this whole thing.
But here's the point. My man Bean got a new doorbell.
I did.
Don't.
Would you like to hear it?
It doesn't say ho, ho, ho or something.
Listen.
I was at the Home Depot the other day, and I was so excited when I found this. So not that anyone would ever come to my house and ring my doorbell, but if they did, here's what would happen.
Oh, dear Lord.
Does that make you want to take your life?
Come on, everybody.
I could not take that year in and year out.
There are 25 different Christmas songs, is that right, on the doorbell?
Yes, that's right. That's right.
So every time somebody pushes it, of course nobody will, but I'm sure, I'm positive that Bean steps out and rings his own doorbell and then walks around the house and goes back out.
That's not
and
a euphemism, is it, for something else?
I don't know.
That's a hot item right there, my friends.
I would kill myself. The sound,
I love
first
that.
Of all, first of all. Those songs, the ones that we hear all the time, are the reason we do a Kevin and Bean Christmas CD, because we're so tired of the same old songs redone. That's why we try to get away from those songs with the Kevin and Bean Christmas CD.
And they sound so crappy.
They sound crappy on that thing.
Well, you're not going to get orchestra quality recordings in a doorbell.
Right.
Though.
That's why you don't do that. That's why you just you have a doorbell. It goes ding dong. Done.
This will certainly guarantee that no one will come to your house and bother you, though, Bean, because no one wants to press that button.
I think it's Bean is really building his life with the intent that nobody is going to want to get anywhere near him. That's his goal.
But Christmas music is something that I listen to alone most of the time anyway.
That's why he drives to the middle of the desert for vacation, because he doesn't want people anywhere around him. He's like a porcupine. The closer you get, the more it hurts.
Okay.
That's Bean.
I understand what you're saying, but it doesn't really apply in this case, because the Christmas music is something that I just listen to every day because I enjoy. It doesn't have anything to do with trying
to
keep people
away. Yeah, let's not get off track. Let's focus on one aberration at the time.
All right, let's focus on Bean and the Christmas music.
Why don't we talk about my new doorbell some?
All right. Let me just focus on one part of this that Lisa already brought up. The sound of that. Doesn't that annoy you?
It's like one of those Casio recorder things.
It's just annoying. Fingernails on the chalkboard sound.
It's not that bad. It's not something that I'd want to listen to a full 3 minutes of a song recorded like that. But I think for 10 seconds, I think it's fine. I think you get the spirit of the number.
Spirit of the number. What do you think, Ralph? You're just sitting there staring at him.
I'm just dumbfounded.
How can you guys dislike Christmas music so much?
I love Christmas. I'm one of the, that's my favorite holiday. I love the season and the spirit and the everything that surrounds Christmas, but to string it out all year long, just...
You know the bit that we do where we call people and have them take down their Christmas stuff ahead of time? That all came from me, Kevin, because I love Christmas probably more than most people, but it's because I love kids. And I have kids, and I love... But the day after Thanksgiving, I'm ready to hit it 100 miles an hour. And the day after Christmas, it's gone. Mm-hmm. I can't take my tree down fast enough. It's over.
It's a Wonderful Life is my favorite movie. I watch that 3 or 4 times a year throughout the year, for instance. Because it's just a great movie.
But it's like I wouldn't want my birthday to be every day, because I really enjoy the specialness of that time when, you know, people say happy birthday and give you cards and presents and everything. It's just a nice little moment that marks another year passing.
And it's the moment that's different from all the other moments.
It's not another Wednesday. It's my birthday, you know?
Right.
It's
hold
not
on
another...
a second, guys. Somebody's at my door. Hang on.
Yeah. Oh, that just hurts.
Okay, 10 seconds is way too long.
That just hurts. Oh,
actually, you know what? There was nobody at the door. It was just a coyote.
I'm sorry.
That he's trained to ring the doorbell.
My mistake.
He put the little doorbell
next to the doggy door
all over the floor so that any animal that steps on it rings it.
Here's all I'm saying, and you're tipping your hands a little bit here about how much you guys are fishing for your own doorbell, but there'll be a little something under the tree from Santa this year.
Was that in the discount bin at the Costco's? I mean, who's selling those in July?
Home Depot, I bought it.
You send that to me, and I promise you, I'll just ship it right on to someone else. Lisa May will get a lovely January 1st present.
You know where I'll shove that. There, yeah.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:39. It's funny, I would slur that right there.
I'm sorry, Kevin, could you say that again?
6:39.
Yeah. Here's why Kevin is awesome, because and we laugh about this all the time. Every time a story comes out about anything that's voice activated, like Siri, for instance, on your phone.
Yeah.
What happens when you try to use that, Kevin?
For some reason, my voice just doesn't cut through, and none of those systems work for me. None of them. Siri, in your car, you know, you can say call whoever.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
They cannot tell what I'm saying ever.
So even though you speak very slowly, very clearly, enunciate the best you possibly can.
Yep.
For whatever reason, they just don't. There's something about the frequency in your voice that just doesn't cut through. Or
yeah,
what?
It must be that it just doesn't cut through. I don't know, but it's none of those things work for me. Ever.
Well, I have bad news for you, because apparently this is the future. This article is about a company called Fast Company, and they are working on the problem of drunk driving. They're trying to figure out a way to stop drunk drivers. Now, we all know that one of the things that has become pretty popular, and a lot of times if somebody is convicted of drunk driving, they'll have to put this in their car, is a breathalyzer in the car where they have to blow into it, and your alcohol content is tabulated. And if you're too drunk to drive, the car will not start.
By the way, that seems like a pretty good plan.
It's a great plan. Mm-hmm. It's a great plan. But this company, Fast Company, says, hey, what if there was an interview instead? What if you get in the car and the car says, hey, how you doing? And you have to answer a couple of questions. What if there's a speech algorithm that can be constructed where the car can tell if you are drunk based on listening to you talk?
So I sit down in the car and
yes.
And then I get questioned by it?
Yes. Fast Company speculates that the voice recognition system will be developed into a tech device that could be installed in cars and prevent people from driving drunk. The idea is that your car will be able to detect if the driver has been drinking by asking the driver a few questions and analyzing their responses. If the driver is intoxicated, the car can prevent them from driving while drunk. Almost a chattier version of the breathalyzer devices that prevent people from driving drunk now. Look, I'm for anything that stops people from getting behind the wheel of a car while they're inebriated.
I agree, but I sound drunk a lot when I'm not. I also sound drunk when I am, but then when I'm not, I slur a lot too, so.
I mean, you could just put a breathalyzer on every car, but would that be more expensive? Is that the deal?
Probably so, yeah. I mean, I don't know what the science is involved in a breathalyzer, but that sounds expensive too. Something that can actually perform a chemical test like that
But
on
they
your
do
car.
Have them.
They do, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
They do have. So, I don't know, Kevin. I don't know if this is for you, but you may not have any choice down the road.
Well, I mean, I did try one this morning. I tried.
You tried from Fast Company? This thing? The drunk speech?
They sent it over, and, I just, this morning before I came into work, I just
Well,
figured,
why didn't you say something? Well how did
I'm
it work?
Saying it now. Well, I'll play it for you.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Oh crap! I'm so late for work. K-Rock work. I have to go. Go to the radio.
You sound drunk.
I'm not drunk. I just woke up. I'm in need to go work. I sound sometimes drunk.
You sound drunk.
I hate you. Your stupid, dumb, absurd car. I need to be not going. K-Rock work!
You sound really f***ed up.
Oh, I hate you. Why are you so stupid? I'm gonna go. How am I gonna go work if you don't start car start?
You should go lie down.
Lie down! I have to go work. I have to talk about funny things. I have to hang up on celebrities. I have things to do. Please start car. Please car start now.
Why do you sound so f***ed up?
I'll have a granola bar, okay? I have a granola bar, and it makes my mouth dry and sounding drunk.
Granola bars? I don't buy it, asshole.
Oh! That's it! I will fight you! I will fight this whole car, and I'll punch it. And this. I'll drive Potterbus to work.
Oh, there you go. At least you got a backup option. Four-time NBA All-Star Blake Griffin joins us in about 25 minutes or so right here on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock. Also, our friend actor Cal Penn will be here next hour, and Lisa, Mike Rowe is going
to
be here.
You don't have to remind me.
from Dirty Jobs, the new CNN show, Somebody's Got to Do It, right around 9 o'clock. He'll be stopping by. Same time, we'll give you your tickets for the K-Rock Halloween Costume Ball with 30 Seconds to Mars, and that is going to be tomorrow night.
There are a lot of mistakes that are made and people who need to correct them. This is a weird thing to me because I do make a lot of spelling errors just because I'm doing things quickly, mm-hmm. and I'm not really paying attention. And then somebody will say, hey, there's two Fs. And I go, oh, yeah, sure enough. But some of the things seem less important to me, but Bean is hyper-focused on one specifically. And every year at this time, actually it's twice a year, anytime there's the daylight savings.
Saving.
He has to jump in and say saving.
Yes.
Because it drives him crazy that people wrongly say daylight savings time.
He corrects constantly.
Yes.
Well,
he writes letters, he tweets,
most of my day this week every year writing strongly worded letters to news organizations and businesses and people who make calendars and people who print the newspaper and all of those people. Because, as I've said so often in the past, it's just as easy to say it right as it is to say it wrong.
How often do you think you say you do that to the same people?
Oh, good question.
Twice a year. Because
you're right to the same people?
Yeah. I think that
sounds
probably
like they're
has
not listening.
It does. What I basically have learned is that on the topic of daylight saving, as on so many other topics, nobody gives an F what I think. That's what I've
Plus,
learned.
Plus, I think it makes a little bit of sense both ways. I do. I know you don't, but I think it does. I think you say daylight savings.
Mm-hmm.
That makes just as much sense to me as daylight saving.
But you would never say money savings. And money and daylight are the same kinds of nouns. You would say money saving. It's a money saving idea. It's a time saving idea. That's the same principle behind daylight saving. And it's not just an opinion. I mean, it's an act by Congress that has an official name. It's not just something I made up or have a preference for. One word is right and the other one is actually wrong.
Okay, until they change it because of common usage. But on that day when you kill yourself, here's what we want to talk about. Here's what we want to talk about. Why, when somebody says that, do you have to say something? Like, I'll see things and I go, well, that's not right. And that's it. I move on. I don't think about it. I don't have to sit down and fire off a strongly worded letter. I don't tweet to anybody. I just am able to go, all right.
And I'm
so what?
So jealous that you have that lackadaisical attitude toward the English language. I really am. I wish I could enjoy that the way you do.
Well, I also destroy the English language, and that doesn't necessarily make me happy.
But I hear people say things that are wrong.
Right.
Clearly wrong. And I'm sort of itching to say something, but it's rude.
So you just don't. So yeah. You make a decision now. I don't even think that I should. You make a decision not to. Yeah. Bean has no control.
No.
But you can't help it.
I do think, and by the way, we want to take your calls to find out what is it like daylight saving for me. That's my Hiroshima. What is it for you that it is a meltdown for you? Like you just can't stand the fact that people say fill in the blank. Like I mentioned, we talked about this off the air yesterday. I mentioned, you know, people say the word supposedly all the time. And that kind of drives me crazy. I would never correct somebody who said supposedly,
okay,
by the way.
But there are people out there who will. That's
their thing.
That's
supposedly
what we're looking for is that there's some word that drives you so crazy. You have to correct people.
So that's what we're axing you here today is to give us a call at one. What? What? What do you say?
Are you axing that?
Yeah.
Yes, that's
what I'm axing.
Right.
At 1-800-520-1067. And I will tell you that part of it is I do feel like there is, and maybe it's just because we live in a text speak world or you know, a Twitter universe. I do feel like there is a deterioration of the English language that I think ultimately is going to hurt us all. I think it does make a difference whether you use the right word or not. I got a news alert on my phone yesterday from CBS News that talked about that NASA rocket that blew up.
Right.
Bringing supplies to the International Space Station.
Right.
Instead of taking supplies to the International Space Station.
Wow,
those
you're
words
right.
Are,
Society
those words
might
are not,
fall.
Those words are not interchangeable, though. They do mean different things, and there are a lot of times where whether you use bring or take gives clarity to the sentence. So
right,
I'm just saying
but how
we shouldn't lose track of how to actually speak the language.
How many people didn't understand what was being said about that particular instance? And they knew bringing supplies meant taking supplies.
In that instance, most people probably got it because it blew up on the launch pad if they had looked further into the story, so it's clear that it was still on Earth. But it could have easily been a situation where the explosion could have happened closer to the International Space Station as supplies were being brought into the station. It does make a difference. Bring and take are not the same thing, and they're not interchangeable.
No, I agree, but it's also not important. to me.
In that sense. In that sense. Right.
But don't you think we're going down a dangerous path, though, if all of a sudden words can just be approximate?
Well, I don't think you're going to stop it, is the thing.
Well, A, you're not going to stop it, but B, I don't know how much of a dangerous path it is.
It is a dangerous path.
The society is not going to fall because somebody says bring instead of take. And it's just not going to happen.
It upsets me that somebody who's running the news alert desk for CBS News wouldn't know the difference between something that's so basic as bring and take that you learn in what? Like fifth grade? I mean, that could be
daylight savings, asshole!
How dare you?
So you have to say something. You are, in this particular case, in this particular way, Bean.
That's what we're looking for at 1-800-520-1067. The phones are already jammed, by the way. Let's start with Sarah. She's in Glendale. She's on line six. She's got one that's driving her crazy.
Hey, Sarah.
Hi.
Hi.
Hey, female bean.
What's
going on?
I can't stand it when people put an H at the end of the word height.
Yeah.
When they put height?
Height.
Height.
Yeah.
And do you have to correct them? Do you have to say something?
I'm more like Lisa in that it just drives me nuts.
It drives you crazy.
I can't correct people that are, you know, in front of other people in a professional sense, but
right.
It just drives me
nuts.
I hear you.
And what do you suppose that is, by the way? How did height get started? Why is that so common, do you suppose?
Is it just easier to say?
Width, because of the word width.
Probably,
maybe?
Yeah.
Oh, because of width, huh? Interesting. Okay.
More importantly, why do you care?
Kevin's argument is, does everybody understand what the speaker is trying to say? And I think in that case, it's a yes, right? So why does it matter to you?
Because there's no H at the end of the word height. Because it's wrong.
When she puts it that way,
it is wrong.
And do people know, like picture, people have to know that's not right, right?
Instead of picture?
Yeah.
Instead of picture?
They have to know.
Hang on the wall. A picture you hang on a wall, a picture you put beer in.
Right. So are they just being lazy? What is that?
I'm falling so deeply in love with Lisa right now, by the way. I love it. Thank you for the call, Sarah. We appreciate
that. Oh, wait. We have a song for you.
Sarah, you're a height with a TH, asshole!
Jeez. I will say, by the way, I use words incorrectly all the time, and our listeners sharpshoot me on that all the time, too. People complain about the way I pronounce the word February, for instance. I make mistakes all the time that are annoying to other people. So it's not like I'm perfect. I mean, I make just as many mistakes as the next guy.
I'll say this to your credit, too. If Bean makes a mistake, he wants you to correct him.
Yeah.
Yes,
and
that's
he wants
true.
To say it right.
That is true.
All right, let's go to Patricia. How about on line four, please? She's in Whittier.
All right. Hi, Patricia.
Hi, good morning.
Hello.
Something drives you crazy, and then you go all Bean on us?
Yes, it's irregardless when it should be regardless. It drives me bananas.
I am so with you on that, sister. And how did irregardless become a thing? It's so redundant to have the ear at the beginning and the less at the end that mean the same thing. Well, how did that even start?
You know what? It's the first time I heard it, I questioned it, and I had to go to Wikipedia, and Wikipedia proved me right. It's regardless.
I'm going to change Wikipedia as soon as we get off, as soon as we play a commercial.
And Kevin can do that, you know.
All right. Thank you for the call. 1-800-520-1067 is the phone number. We're going to take your calls next on the Kevin and Bean. Don't forget, daylight savings time is this weekend.
Saving, by the way, saving. And it's the end of daylight saving time, too, by the way. It's not the begin, which is another thing that people always confuse
Good
about.
Lord.
Yeah, I don't care.
Hey, we're making some of our listeners, a very small, tiny percentage, maybe 1% of our listeners, very happy today because we're giving them a chance to vent on the grammatical things that people say that drive them crazy. Angela writes in, conversate instead of converse. I hate that so much. Valentine's Day instead of Valentine's Day drives her crazy. Tom says, I have coworkers from the Midwest who say across instead of across.
Sure. Yeah.
I hate that so much. A young man named Doc on the Rock writes in, what's up with people who say all intensive purposes instead of all intents and purposes? Intensive purposes drives him crazy. So we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. What is the thing that people say that drives you crazy? You feel like you have to correct them. Let's go to Steve on line one in Anaheim.
Hi, Steve.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
What drives you crazy that you have to correct?
Well, I got to give a shout out to my buddy Shane. I'm sure he's listening. He pointed it out to me. It's not something I know that I said, but when people say PIN number and ATM machine,
And PCV valve, too, is another one on that list that drives some people crazy.
And you're saying that because ATM, the M stands for machine.
Yeah, and the N stands for number. So why would people say I got to enter my personal identification number at the automatic teller machine?
All right, so here's the question we have for you that determines whether you're the a-hole or not, is do you say anything about it?
On occasion. It depends on the situation.
Steve, you're a PIN number in an ATM machine, asshole!
Let's go to Lisa. She's up next down the road from Steve in Anaheim Hills on line 2.
Hi, Lisa.
Hey, what it do, Lisa?
What it do?
Alrighty. Okay, how about the phrase, I could care less?
Yes.
That rubs a lot of people the wrong way.
Not right.
Yeah, seriously. No, I don't say anything because if you're too stupid to use the phrase, I could care less, you're probably not going to understand the explanation of why that makes no sense. So, no.
All right, but what about, let's look at this through the Kevin prism. Do people understand what is meant when somebody says, I could care less versus I couldn't care less? They are used interchangeably.
No, they don't understand. That's why they use the phrase because they're too dumb to understand.
No, but I'm saying the people they're talking to understand what is meant by the expression, whether it's used incorrectly or not. So does it really matter?
That's true because the majority of people around are dumb. So, yes, they understand that.
Lisa, you're a I could care less asshole!
What a anger coming out of that room today. How about Omar and Torrance, line 3, please?
By the way, it's possible that I have to take a I don't care attitude because I'm the one who demolishes the English language the most.
It would be hypocritical of you to care.
Yeah, and if it bothered me, I would be in serious trouble. Omar, hi.
Hi, how are you guys doing? Good morning, Lisa, man.
Hi.
What is it that drives you crazy that you have to correct?
So I have to agree with being in terms of the improper uses of S. For example, let's be honest, the Kings play second fiddle to the Lakers and the Dodgers in this city. But every time it just drives me wild when people say Stanley Cup Finals, even though the great Bob Miller always had to correct people, it's actually Stanley Cup Final.
Yeah, there's no S there.
And yeah, there's no S. They used people to, do say Finals.
They used to play second fiddle. Take it easy. That's all I'm saying.
Now, Kevin, that's your team, and that's your favorite event of the entire year.
Yes.
Does it bug you when people say Finals?
No.
I know not at all.
No, I know that it's Final, and I say Final. But what do I care if they say Finals? I know what they mean. I know they're excited.
It is a series of games, right?
Yeah, it's a best of 7.
So it makes total sense that people would say Finals.
It is oddly named. It's not the World Series.
Right.
Yeah, true. Omar, do you correct people?
I try to not, but sometimes I do.
Hey, Omar, I've got your Finals right here, asshole!
Thank you for the call, Omar. Matthew writes in on the Kevin and Bean Facebook page, which, by the way, I think this is a discussion that's going to be going on all day long over there, so please feel free to weigh in. He has one that I am in complete agreement with, or as some people say, agreeance. I hate when people pronounce the word jaguar as jaguar. It makes me want to punch a puppy. Well, I don't ever want to punch a puppy, but didn't that start like about, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 years ago on the Jaguar TV commercials?
Yes.
They started saying jaguar. Jaguar. All of a sudden Jaguar. It became Jaguar after it had been Jaguar my whole life.
But then,
like, what's that about?
But then I think they changed it to Jaguar.
Yes.
Recently.
And what is that
I
about?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Pick a pronunciation and stick with it. All right. Let's go to Esther. She's in Lake Elsinore. How about that on line 7?
Hi, Esther.
Hi. Good morning, party people.
Hi.
What is it that drives you crazy?
What drives me absolutely crazy is when people say another, like it is a whole nother situation.
Oh, they're not saying another?
Right. They're not saying another or other. There is no such word as another.
Well, there kind of is now, though, as a result of that expression.
Boom!
I mean, no. I agree with you that it doesn't make any sense from a grammar standpoint or from a logic standpoint. It is just it's just a phrase that people have started saying is whole nother. I totally agree with you. So you would prefer they say whole other?
A whole other or another situation.
Yeah.
Either add the A or drop the N.
I think, like me with daylight saving, I believe you have lost that battle and another is now a thing that's stuck with us. I really do.
Hey, Esther, you're a whole nother!
Oh, my God.
All right. Let's go to Delmi. Can't be right. L.A., line 6. This is one I am not familiar with.
Hey, Delmi.
Hi, how are you?
Hi. Good.
What is it that drives you crazy?
When people say skinned it, like she was a light-skinned or dark-skinned girl.
I've never heard skinned. You mean instead of dark-skinned?
Yes, instead of Latina. If you're Latino, you will hear it all the time. Just like passport or
passport.
Okay. I love skinded. Passport.
All right, so do you correct people when they say skinded?
I do, and my family, we tend to correct each other a lot, and we're okay with it, but we realize that other people don't like it so much. So.
Hey, dummy! What kind of name is dummy, asshole? Skinded!
Thank you for the call. Chandra, another odd name, writes in on the Kevin and Bean Facebook page. You know that big building that is typically part of a city's civic center and it's filled with books? It's a library, yes. People, not a library. It's not a place full of fruit. A library is what Chandra says.
So yeah, we got a lot of uptight listeners.
We do. I'm starting to feel like I'm wrong, by the way, to lump myself in with these people. See, because I think the thing that I'm upset about is justifiable. Sure. The thing that they're upset about makes them crazy people.
Oh, sure. That's what you think. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. We're going to talk to Blake Griffin from the Clippers next.